in service with you. I was trying to think. It's been about 8 years since we'd been here in camp meeting. It was green back then. Amen. It looks so good. Amen. All the work that you've done. Appreciate the Lord and His goodness and His mercy. I was thinking 8 years ago, my little one, we come up here, had a feeding tube in him, and had already had two open heart surgeries, and some didn't think he'd live. And he's going on 11 years old, bounces off the walls, three open hearts, and doctors are amazed. My wife will tell them every time, that's what the power of God can do. I appreciate him. He's been good to us. Amen. It's so good to be here tonight. I'm trying to get over my nervousness. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I pray the Lord will help us here. The book of Genesis tonight. Thank you for your giving. Again, we're so thankful for Brother Sutherland allowing us to come. Offer Brother Dexter's world's recommendation. Praise the Lord. The book of Genesis chapter 8, verse number 15. When you find it, if you're able, please stand for the reading of the word. The 15th verse of Genesis chapter 8. The Bible said, "And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Would you stretch your hand one more time? Let us pray again. Gracious Father, we pray that we may see the mercies of the Master, and let there not be the madness of the minister. I plead with you for that anointing that breaks the yoke and the unction that creates action. God, help us here tonight. Give us more than just a sermonette. But God, would just speak to us from the oracles of heaven. Deal with our hearts and our souls. And in the altar, God, would you move on us. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. The book of Matthew, Jesus would make a statement concerning Noah. He said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." Such a time of unconcernedness, such a time of lethargy. Every nail that Noah would drive into the ark, amen, no doubt his heart would break at the rejection of mankind of the message that he was preaching unto them. For their soon demise would come. Amen. We find in the 21st verse, the Bible said, "For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." That tells us, as Paul would put it so well in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse, "Perilous times." Amen. So as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Perilousness, hard times, difficult times, dark times. Amen. If you are looking for things to get better here, Amen. You're probably in for a rude awakening. For as man is concerned, it only will wax worse and worse. Iniquity will abound. Amen. Difficulties will arise. Paul would write in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and he would say, we are troubled on every side. Amen. In other words, I'm surrounded by trouble. Amen. I'm not able to deal with one situation, for I find that there are others coming in on me like a flood. Thank God the Bible said, amen, that he would raise up a standard. Amen. But Paul said, troubled on every side. Sometimes you seem like you're twirling in a dizzy because of so many struggles and so many trials that are coming in on us. But he said, yet not distress. Amen. Now I have to be honest, I've never reached that place when it seemed like everything was coming in at one time to say that I've never been distressed, because I know what it is to awake in the wee hours of the night with stress, pressures, pressing in, wondering, God, what am I going to do about this? How am I going to handle that? How am I going to turn this way? Or God, shall I turn that way? Amen. And to make matters worse, it oftentimes seemed like the heavens are as brass and the earth is like iron. And you're wondering, Lord, where art thou? Amen. I'm needing you here. I need to know a direction, or I need an answer. But it seems that heaven is silent. Amen. As trial and struggle come in at every side. But Paul said, I'm not distressed. Amen. I'm not under stress about it. Praise God. Oh, that God would enable us to reach that place, amen, where I'm not stressed about my troubles. Oh, come on here. Amen. Distressed. Under pressure. Hallelujah. Just a young man. I remember my wife taking me to the doctor. I was a full-time job preaching, pulling guard duty on top of that. And got sick and was having pains in a very concerned area of the chest. And went to the doctor. And when he got through with me, he looked at me. He said, nothing wrong with your heart. Just too much stress. Too many irons in the fire. You've got too much going on. Hallelujah. Amen. I had to make that choice. There's just some things I'm just going to have to learn not to let it get to me. Huh? Come on here. We must learn to realize I can't handle everything. I've got to put it in the hands of God. As a young Christian, times and time again, when the trials of life would press in, I would find myself crying out to God, Lord, can't take no more. And I'd hear him say, oh, thou of little faith. And I'd say, Lord, the next time I'll not buckle. And the next time I might have lasted a little longer. But I'd cry again, can't take no more. And he'd say, oh, thou of little faith. But in time I had to learn, Lord, whether the answer comes or not, I'm just going to have to trust you through this. Amen. Amen. That's the reason why Paul could say, I am not distressed. Then he would go on, we are perplexed. In other words, I'm in a place I just cannot understand. I don't have the ability to figure this out. There is seemingly no answer. I'm perplexed. Amen. I'm confused. Why am I here? Hey, come on here. How often have we kneeled in the closet of prayer and we've looked toward heaven with tears dripping down our face and we pondered toward God, God, why do you do me like you do me? Amen. God, what purpose, what reason is there for this? I am perplexed. But he said, but I'm not in despair. In other words, I still have hope. I may not can comprehend what I'm going through, but I've got some hope. Hallelujah. I may not understand all the reasons why. Come on now. Job didn't know why he was facing what he was facing. Amen. And when the whirlwind came, he still did not get the answer, but he had hope. Amen.
Amen. Paul said, I am perplexed. I don't understand, but I am not in despair, or I am not without hope. Persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. Hallelujah. It may seem like others are against me, but there is an unseen hand that's a holding to me, and it's a carrying me through the storms of this life. I'm persecuted. Come on here. Amen. But I'm not forsaken. I'm not alone. For there is one who walks alongside with me. I'm cast down. Amen. I may be broken, but I'm not destroyed. I may be wounded, but I'm not destroyed. I may be hurt, but I'm not destroyed. Hallelujah. Amen. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Amen. I don't like being here, huh? Amen. I don't like, amen, when my boat is being rocked. The outward man doesn't like it when the doctor walks in and says there's a 6.2 or 6.5 centimeter size of mass in the center of your chest and it is cancer. Flesh doesn't want to hear, amen, the negative prognosis. It doesn't like it when there's no money in the bank and the bills are due. The outward man perisheth. It doesn't like the place it's at. Yet the inward man is renewed a day by day. Amen. The outward man may not like it. There's an inward man. I said there's an inward man that's in touch with a heavenly God. And it renews its faith and its courage. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding, amen, an eternal weight of glory. In other words, when I take my trial, when I take my trouble, and I stack it up against what I'm going to gain in heaven, it is a light thing. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Amen. He would write in Romans, the 8th chapter, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in, hallelujah, amen, in us. Praise God. Amen. It's tough going now. Amen. It's hard now. I'm hurting now. Amen. Sometimes I feel alone now. I'm perplexed and distressed now. Amen. But Paul would write unto Timothy and he would say, son, amen, I've kept the faith. I've run the race. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of life. Amen. I'm in trouble. I'm in sufferings. Amen. But it is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be mine. Yes. Amen. Therefore I must endure hardness as a good soldier. Oh God. Oh God. Help me, Lord. Amen. Paul would write again in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, that I have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You're not the first one to have to ride out this storm. Huh? You're not the first one to blow a tire in this pothole, or to hit this bump in the road. Amen. Or to find yourself in the darkness of trial. Hallelujah. Amen. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. In other words, if you hang in there, God will take the trial. He'll take the temptation and make it the instrument of your deliverance. Hallelujah. Sir. Amen. Others have come this way. And while the road may be littered, amen, with casualties, amen, that failed and faltered, yet there are others that endured and they came through, amen, with the victory. victory. So I say, take courage. Amen. There is hope. As others have survived and others have overcome, amen, ye also, amen, can come forth out of the wilderness. Amen. In the garb of a bride. Help me, Lord. Praise God. Noah faced the storm of his life. Huh? How would you like to be woken up, amen, sometime in the wee hours of the night and hear the voice of God say, Noah, I'm fixing to wipe out mankind. Huh? I don't think he rose up the next day, amen, walking down that jolly path, amen, with a glad song in his heart, because he had received such news of the judgment of God. Amen. And for the next years, while building the ark, he would have to endure hardship. He would have to endure persecution. He would have to endure rejection. It amazes me that when I read the account of Noah, amen, only a wife, three sons, and three daughter-in-laws. But when I flip back a few chapters, I find that there are sons and daughters that are born, amen, siblings, amen, under Noah. Where were they? Amen. He would face the time of having his own family turn against him. Not only the labors of building the ark. Come on here. Amen. If you think what you're facing is hard, amen, take a look at Noah. Amen. For 90 years, the storm clouds did not rise or dissipate. Amen. But each day drew near to the judgment of God. And with every subsequent, amen, rejection by man. Amen. With every subsequent passing of the day, amen, feelings were hurt. Wounds were incurred by Noah. If there was a man that could have been discouraged, if there was a man that could have been distressed and despondent, if there was a man that could have found himself in the pool, help me, Lord, amen, of depression, it was this man called Noah. Oh, God. I'm about to get where I got to preach. Hallelujah. Whoa. Amen. Under the gun. I can see Noah many nights sleep failed him as he pondered. Could I preach this a little better? Could I have said something a little different today? Could I have handled the circumstances differently? What am I going to do? I've got to reach somebody. I've got to have an effect on somebody's life. Amen. And all he gets is more rejection, more mockery, more ridicule. Amen. As time would pass, come on here. I know when you think of Noah, you think of the little Sunday school story. Amen. With the little posters of the round boat and the little bitty rose-cheeked man with the gray beard with a big smile on his face. And all the little animals' heads are stuck out with grins and the sun's a shining. But on the contrary, dark days, troublesome times, perilous times, times of perplexity, times where he could not comprehend. Amen. Times, no doubt, as Luke would write in Acts chapter 28, and Luke said, and all hope, amen, of being delivered has left us. In other words, we have lost hope. But we find the key to his victory in that 20th verse of the 8th chapter. And Noah built an altar. You see, the altar is a place where man meets with God. It's a place where man prays. And a man that prays is a man that has faith. And a man that has faith is a man that worships God. Hallelujah. Noah knew, if I'm going to come through this and out of this, I've got to make worship a priority in my life. Hallelujah. Oh, God. I remember the morning, amen, or the afternoon after the biopsy, when they went down inside of me. I'm telling you, when they tell you you've got a massive cancer in the center of your chest, nestled up next to your heart, it'll take and break a grown man and make him cry. Huh? Whew. I was already white because I was sick. But my wife said I turned several shades of gray. Amen. Come on here. But the morning after the biopsy, amen, and the doctors had poked that thing and it busted and water spewed. And the doctor said it was lymphoma. I don't know what happened. Amen. I do. God intervened. Amen. While in prayer, I heard that unmistakable voice that I've heard so many times before when he called me by name. And he said, I've healed you because you are a worshiper of God. Come on here. I know we may worship differently across the country. Down home in Georgia, we, amen, like things a little faster, a little louder. Amen. You get to Kentucky, man. Hey, blow your drums with the cymbals and the drums. Everybody's different. But I want to tell you, there was something that got a hold of my heart. I realized I can worship my way through and out of this. Amen. It may be dark and it may be bleak, that you can worship your way through this. Hallelujah. There's something about us as human beings. When the way gets rough and the way gets tough, we hang our harps in the willow tree and we want to have a pity party. Amen. But no one knew if I'm going to keep my mind, if I'm going to have the victory, I'm going to have to build an altar and make worship a priority. Oh God. Hallelujah. Amen. I've never found it in the scripture where it said I had to feel God before I could worship God. Huh? Come on here. I know there's a lot that would say, well, I don't want to get in the flesh. I know what you mean. You don't want to be carnal. Amen. But when I read my Bible and it said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. That tells me, Lord, I'm to worship you whether I feel like it or not. Amen. I'm to worship you whether I'm fine, I find myself locked up on an ark. Amen. Cram pack. Amen. Full of every kind of animal imagine. Or whether my sun is shining bright. Hallelujah. You got to understand something. 14 months. Amen. 90 some commentators say 90 years in building. Some say 120. Amen. That's a long time laboring and enduring. Amen. The hardship. But it didn't end when the door shut on the ark. He would have to endure the rain. He'd have to endure the breaking up of the fountains. He'd have to endure as he watched in horror as mankind perished over the course of 4 months as the waters covered the mountains. And when it come off of that boat or that barge or the ark, amen, things were never the same. Amen, it was different. Come on. Amen, when you come out of the storm, amen, it will never be the same for you. But Noah knew, amen, the key to my victory is to make worship a priority. Oh God, help me, Lord. A priority to worship. I don't feel like it, preacher. Hey, I'm sick. I'm facing the trial of my life. Come on here. Stick around. And I know I'm a young man, but stick around. You'll get through this one, and then the next one will come along, and you'll say, this is the trial of my life. Amen. I've not found them, Brother Thomas, to get easier. I found them to get harder and more difficult. Hallelujah. Amen. But I found the same thing that brings me victory, the same thing that allows me to come through and make it to the other side. Amen. In the last trial will be the same thing that will give me the victory in this trial. Hallelujah. Come on, children. Amen. Noah made worship a priority. Whether he felt like it or not, he worshiped God. He pulled his harp out of the willow tree Come on here. Amen. There are going to be many times when that enemy is going to say, amen, sing the Lord's song now. The psalmist said, sing. They that wasted us required of us one of the Lord's song. Amen. The enemy will say, sing now. Your back's against the wall. Worship now. Amen. The sun ain't shining. Worship now. The circumstances are not like what you want. And the Israelites said, how can we sing? I want to tell you, amen, it is the song in the midnight hour, amen, that will cause the clouds of unbelief and doubt to roll away. Make worship a priority. Oh, God. Amen. Worship anyhow. I said worship anyhow. Whoa. When that doctor walked out of that room that night, said, sir, I'm sorry. Your child has less than 5 or 10% chance to live. Half a heart, no hope. Walking down the stairway, that enemy crawled up on the shoulder. What's going to do now? Hey, look what God's done to you now. I thought of those verses with Job. He said, though he slay me, amen, yet I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise him. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, I worship God for who he is. Come on here. Amen. We get so caught up. Amen. When God blesses, then I'll praise. I'm going to worship him whether he blesses me or not. I'm going to praise him whether he moves and gives me the answer or not. I'm going to bless him. Amen. Even though the answer sometimes is no. Amen. And I find myself having to bear through this trial longer than I desire. Amen. You know, it's not so much the fact of the trial. Amen. It's the fact of not knowing how long I've got to go through this. How long I've got to deal with this. But when I make worship a priority in my life, when I learn to lift up my feeble hands and give God the glory and give him the praise, I know I've been there. Amen. When you just couldn't hardly get the amen out, or the hallelujah, or the glory to God. But I find the more that I worship God, the better that I felt. And the more that I praised him, the more he inhabited my praise. Amen. The 22nd chapter of Psalms and the 3rd verse. David said, I've cried day and night, and I can't seem to find God. Then all of a sudden the light bulb goes off in his mind. Thou, O Lord, are holy. Thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. If I can't get your attention no other way, God, I know what will work. Oh, God. Woo. We're all guilty as human beings. Amen. You might as well be honest with yourself. We don't like to be shaken out of our routine. We want to be up at a certain time. We want our cup of coffee or our Mountain Dew or whatever. Amen. We want to go through the day. Amen. We got that thing. Whether you actually have a list or not, you got it up here. You want to go through that day without any trouble or heartache. Amen. Let a tire go flat. Amen. That's broke your little routine, man. And we get upset. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. There's nothing no more difficult or more aggravating to me, even though I don't have nothing but a 29-foot Airstream. There's nothing no more aggravating than get on the interstate and there's a detour sign and you got to pull off, and the roads they send you down are near about tear the front end off the truck, bust the tires on the trailer, and you're praying, Lord, just help me to make it back to the main highway. There's nothing no more than disheartening or discouraged when we go along in life and all of a sudden God gives us a detour sign. But it's during those times, friend, that we learn to hear the voice of God. And I must learn to make worship a priority in my life. Hallelujah. He not only worshiped with a priority, he worshiped with a purpose. Hallelujah. Your God you're sitting on the throne. I may not like, let me rephrase that. I may not understand all the ways of God. Amen. Sometimes they wound me. Sometimes they break me. Sometimes I find myself beside the brook wrestling with him in the night hour. And when he gets done with me, I feel like I have more than just a hip dislocated. I feel like he's tied me in knots. I don't understand the ways of God. Sometimes they do disappoint me. Amen. My hopes and my aspirations. But I do know one thing. His ways are just. And they're true. And they're holy. I can't see the end of the matter, but he does. So I'm going to praise him for it. I may hurt now, but tomorrow the same hands that bring me are the same hands that will heal me. Amen. The same hands that wound, amen, and cause me to be disheartened will be the same hands that pick me up and encourage and put the smile back on my face. Oh God, I worship with a purpose because he's God. Huh? And secondly, I come before him with appreciation and thanksgiving. Lord, amen, you've been good to me. So I thank you for yesterday. Lord, I'm thanking you for today. Amen. That's pretty easy to do. But amen, that next part takes a step of faith. Lord, I don't know about tomorrow. But I know you hold it. So I'm going to go ahead and praise you and give you the glory. Whoa, hallelujah. Amen. He would worship with a purpose. Amen. He wasn't half-hearted, huh? With his amens or his glory to God's or his hallelujahs. Amen. Though the outward man was perishing, though he found himself in a place that was very uncomfortable to him, that inward man was being renewed. How? Amen. He learned to worship God with a purpose. Hallelujah. I told you a praying man has faith, and a man of faith will worship. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, that Gentile leper came running back. He has no access to the earthly priest. He's a Gentile. But he turns back to the heavenly one, and he falls on his face, and with a loud voice, he glorifies God. And Christ looks at him and says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." When you have faith, you worship God. And when you worship God, amen, worship will always pay dividends. Amen. He worshiped with a priority. And he worshiped with a purpose. Amen. And his worship had a product. Amen. Worship not only gains the attention of God, but worship will change your outlook of your circumstance. Oh God. Amen. He may not change the storm. He may not deal with the battle, but he'll change you. Come on, children. He'll change something. Amen. Again, the psalmist said he inhabits. We're inhabiting this nice, dry, warm building tonight. We came in from the elements. We got away from the rain, the sleet, the cold. And we're in here inhabiting a building. When Christ inhabits praise, that means he gets right down in the middle of it. Just like we're in the middle of this building. Hallelujah. Woo! Hey, man. When you get to worshiping God, Peter, you lose sight of the waves. Hey, man, your ears grow deaf to the wind. And all you see is there's a master walking with you. David said, "I look up toward the hills, which cometh my help, for my help cometh from above." Amen. When you worship God, you lose that horizontal vision and you get a vertical one. Amen. And when you look up, you lose sight of everything. And all you can see is Isaiah saw the Lord high lifted up and his train doth fill the temple. Oh God. Praise God. Amen. I'm a very, very shy, backwards kind of a person. Amen. Amen. When I go somewhere to eat dinner with somebody, Amen. If they've got some books around. Amen. And my wife gets aggravated me because I'll slip away, find me a corner, pick up a book. I'd rather read than anything. That usually keeps me out of trouble. Amen. Because usually if we get in conversation, politics or something arises and it never fails, open mouth and insert foot, and you make somebody mad. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That shyness sometimes has an effect when I go to church. It's hard. When you get in a new place like this, sometimes it's hard for me, amen, to say glory to God or hallelujah. Sometimes it's hard to lose sight of the congregation and just get focused on God. Amen. I didn't come, with all due respect, I didn't come to see who was here. I'm glad to see Brother Gerald. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't come to look at the attire. Amen. I come with a purpose, looking for a master. I'm afraid we're like the two men on the Emmaus Road. Amen. We're so caught up with life that we never realize that He is walking with us all the time. Hallelujah. Read those verses. Amen. And those men, they're so caught up in their conversation of their disappointment and their disheartenedness and the loss of hope that they never saw that the Master was with them. But when you worship, I said, when you make worship a priority and you worship with a purpose, it gives you a new sense, amen, or a king sense. It allows you to recognize that there is a Master near me. Amen. I may not see the rending of the rocks. I may not see the falling of the fire, and I may not feel the blowing of the wind, but I hear a still small voice that whispers peace unto my soul. Oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, worship has its product. Amen. Come on here. Worship gets His attention. The Bible said, and He smelled a sweet savor. Praise God. Well, it's easy to worship God when the sun's shining. It's easy to worship God when everything's going your way. It's easy to come in and worship God when the music's 100 miles an hour. Huh? Paycheck's in the bank. Bills are paid. But it becomes a different matter when you find yourself in the darkest, deepest valley and you feel like God's a million miles away. Huh? I believe when you can worship God through your storm, you're showing true character. Ah, you're quiet. I said, when you can worship God in your storm, you're showing true character. Hallelujah. Praise God. Worship God anyhow. Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. He healed that cancer in there and turned it into a cyst full of water. They busted it, compressed it 50% and left it. Amen. They sent me to a surgeon and I'm down praying. God said, you're not to have surgery. You're to trust me. All right, Lord, what am I going to do about this surgeon? I walked in. The surgeon said automatically before I even, amen, could get in the room good, I'm not touching you. I'll see you in 6 months. Amen. Well, it's been well over a year and a half now. Amen. The visit the other day, he said, it's still there. It ain't done anything. I'll see you in 2 years. Come on here. But there have been days when it hurt. There have been days when that devil crawled up on my shoulder and he said, you're dying with cancer, you're eat up, it's all in your lungs, it's a spreading in your backbone, amen, it's everywhere, you're dying. Whoa, hallelujah. Come on here. And when you're a worshiping man, it's hard for the devil to get a hold of you and pull you down. Lord, if I live, amen, I gain, amen, I'm rewarded, I'm blessed. But if I go, amen, I am the better for it. Either way I go, come on here, learn to worship God anyhow. Oh, stand with me tonight. Ooh. Oh God. Oh God. Come on here. It doesn't take a super spiritual man to understand in a congregation this size that there are people that are facing storms, battles, heartaches, disappointment. That's just a fact of life. But if we're not careful, we get so caught up in it that we lose sight of what is most important. Huh? Come on here. Lord, whether I got a dollar in my pocket or not, whether the bank gets the car or the house, I'm doing the best I can, Lord. But whether they get it or not, as long as I have you, praise God, I'm going to worship God. You may be quiet, but sometimes you just kind of have to break out of that mold, so to speak. In one camp meeting in the first part of the year, under the gun, just fatigue, wore out. God got to deliver in my heart. And he said, son, you need to learn to allow yourself or make yourself blessable. I said, all right, Lord, I know what you're saying. Not only am I to live sanctified and holy, Lord, but when I get into the house of God, whether anybody else is or not, if I feel the touch of heaven, help me to be blessable. How are you going to do that, preacher? Put them hands in the air. Amen. One old preacher, and I say that reverently because I was so young and he seemed so old to me. Amen. He said, son, God, or he's preaching to the congregation. He said, God's given every one of us two antennas. And when you can't feel him this way, turn them things around till you find him. Hallelujah. Feel after him. Hallelujah. Worship your way through and out of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody get us a song tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I know what it's like to get the bad prognosis. In my son's life, amen, 3 open heart surgeries, just a half a heart, 2 chambers, and in my life, I know what it feels like. Lord, am I going to die? I'm 41 now. Then I was just 39 years old. Lord, am I going to make it to see my 40th birthday? Because they tell me this is the aggressive lymphoma, very fast. I didn't even have time to leave Richmond, Indiana to drive home to get to a doctor. Amen. He said, sir, it's aggressive. You don't have no time. Come on here. I know what it is to get those kind of bad prognoses, but I also know what it is, amen, to put hands in the air that didn't feel like being in the air. Do you hear me? I know what it is to lift my voice that didn't feel like being lifted up and say, Lord, I worship you anyway. And I give you glory anyway. I give you honor anyway. Amen. Either way it goes, God, I'm in your hands. Come on here. Hallelujah. You're here tonight and you're up against the wall. Amen. The key to victory is like Noah. Build you an altar. Pray through till you can worship God again. Then get your heart down. Amen. I said, get your heart down and learn how to praise God with a priority. Amen. Amen. You may come in here and it may seem dry as cracker juice, but learn how to worship God anyway. The evangelist may not be preaching too good, but put two hands in the air and worship God anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You're under the gun tonight. I feel the presence of God in here. Amen. You're against the wall. Amen. I know of one person here. Amen. Had a very bad day yesterday. Amen. Very bad day. Amen. I know one person here. Amen. Was kind of upset. Amen. This evening. Praise God. You know what you need to do? It's just worship your way out of it. Come on, church. Amen. Can we gather? Can we gather around? Can we come in and worship God tonight? Praise God.
I started one day to follow Jesus, not caring for worldly things.
Oh, God.
Sometimes it seemed that I couldn't make it.